That was a real prayer of dedication and surrender. And I hope that went deep into each of our spirits. Thank you, Ken, for opening our hearts, thoughts that way this morning. And thank you for each of you who have chosen to make this part of your day today, to worship together and celebrate the Lord's Day. Today we celebrate the Christ who has triumphed over the curse of the serpent and all that has brought into our world back in the garden. Our studies involve looking at the implications of Eden and the fall and the effect of that in our lives today. I'd like to read a few verses out of Romans chapter 8 and make a few comments. We're going to cut our Sunday school time short this morning because of the rest of our morning schedule. So for you teachers, sorry about that. But 10 minutes shorter this morning for our Sunday school time. Romans chapter 8. I want you to hear in Paul's writings here, 2,000 years ago, the mankind and creation itself, maybe the universe, our planet, was already groaning because of its aging and the process of death in it, because of the effect of the fall. So here, what was happening then. So if it was aging and groaning and travailing back then, what do you think about what has 2,000 more years done? Verse 18, Romans chapter 8. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation is subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. This is 2,000 years ago it was written. Not only so, not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the true redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently, sometimes impatiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I'm glad for the advocate of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit itself is groaning for us who are groaning. Well, life has been pretty good for some of us, many of us, most of us. This has been a season of this generation has experienced, the last several generations have experienced seasons of success. And yet, we can't get away from the aging and the dying and the deterioration of our bodies, of the times in which we live, of everything around us. But ever since the fall, there's a desire to return to Eden, to return to the perfection, to the beauty, and to the harmony that was in Eden, though man was driven out of it. And there's something very interesting about man's attempts in the last 6,000 years. God said that for the rest of your days, mankind will have to, by the sweat of his brow, earn his way through life, earn his living. And you really, unconsciously or consciously, we've attempted to prove God wrong the last 6,000 years. We've tried to make it easier for ourselves. Probably nothing wrong with that, but we have attempted to prove God wrong. How many times do you find in the workplace, people going for the toughest, most difficult, hardest jobs. Most people try to move up the ladder and get away from hard work and move to something easier, and go from sweat, blue collar to white collar if they can, maybe retirement someday is what they look for. Generally, that's what kind of mankind looks for. We try to get away from hard work, but God said, all your days, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. But we've been trying to prove man, God wrong in that, but we're not able to do it. As nice as we can make life for ourselves, we can't get away from that, the deterioration, the hard work, the maintenance, and just what it takes to live. The implications, the repercussions of the fall are perpetual. They will go on forever. And they're comprehensive. They affect us all. Nobody can get away from it. And here we see in this passage the groaning. We see Cain and Abel today in our lesson. There's a struggle because of the fall. So everything around us requires maintenance. It requires work. Any beauty that we try to create, our gardens, our properties, the weeds soon will take over if you don't keep dedicated to maintaining. These days in my business, I see a lot of foreclosed properties. Some are just a few years old, some are older, but the properties have been well maintained. They go into they become vacant, and in just a few months, there's just so much deterioration if nobody keeps after it. Everything we try to create beautiful will wear out. Our bodies that are strong and toned, we can't get away from the wrinkles, the graying, the aging. Cars that we buy and are nice and new, they wear out. Homes that we build nice, beautiful, they require constant maintenance. But in our hearts, there's a desire to return to Eden. And our need of God is expressed here in this passage here. You know, Adam and Eve in the garden, I believe that as they lived there prior to the fall, they never really realized, they never understood their true need of God. They never really, they had it. They had everything perfect, and they were just flowing and they took it for granted, and so much of life we do. But after the fall, they recognized how much they needed him. It's our hard things. It's our deterioration that continually drives us back to God and reminds us how much we need him. We can't live without him. And we long for the time when our bodies will be delivered from the prison that they're in into the perfection of Eden again in heaven. A few weeks ago, when our family was on a family vacation in North Carolina, we took the privilege of touring the Biltmore Mansion, which is the largest private home in America, built by George Vanderbilt back in 1895. Still the largest home in the nation. George Vanderbilt was a very wealthy man, got his wealth from the railroads, but so he tried to create an Eden for himself. So he bought 120,000 acres. It's quite a bit of ground. It would cover probably most of half of Lancaster County. 120,000 acres, and he built a mansion overlooking the Smoky Mountains on a high point. He built this home 175,000 square feet. I don't know if that means much to some of you, but a large home in Lancaster County is 4,000 square feet. 175,000 square feet is 4 acres under a roof. It's a pretty large home. It's a pretty marvelous home. That was back in 1895. He built it with central heating system, which hardly any home knew of at that time. Not even our government buildings had central heat at that time. He put electric through the house. He put cold and hot water through the house. 1895. He had bathtubs and toiletries. He had an indoor swimming pool in the basement that had underwater lighting back in 1895. He had everything that he could. He had gardens, hundreds of acres of gardens. He created a Eden for himself. Over 100 bedrooms, 65 fireplaces, 43 bathrooms. Just kind of everything, more than a guy could use. But you know, George Vanderbilt, after he completed the house, he lived only 15 years to enjoy it. Because anything we create here is going to deteriorate, or we will deteriorate ahead of it. So there is no Eden here. There is no perfection here. But we understand that in Christ we can be whole now and look forward to being whole and complete and perfect in Him, with Him forever. We're here to celebrate that today. He's made provision through Christ for us to be able to do that. Our Eden does not die with us. We resurrect to it. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning in gratefulness for all Your provision for us through Christ Jesus. Lord, we do not die and lose what we've done. We rise to what You've done and experience the glory and the bliss of Your creation for us. And I pray that our focus could be that. I pray that we could today celebrate Your victory over sin and Satan and all that deteriorates. Thank You for this body, and I thank You for those who are part of the service today who've committed to teach and to preach and to lead out in worship and in various ways. May Your blessing rest on us together in Jesus' name. Amen.